Hi, everybody, and welcome to the continuation of our work with telepathy and the etheric vehicle. This is the 23rd of October, and we have had the ingress at 4:20. AM GMT. We were not able to broadcast that ingress, but we will pick up the idea as we go along. Now, DK has been giving us something of a detailed picture beyond the simplified picture of telepathy, which he offered in some of the foregoing programs. We are now on program 10, and we have looked through with some care the first six of 10 descriptions of the kind of telepathy that has been offered as an enlargement upon the simplified version he gave earlier. We know that the master begins with simplicity and works his way towards greater detail. If we were going to look at, let's say, what we have covered, sorry about this. I've outlined it and discussed it pretty thoroughly. There is this kind of instinctual telepathy, which is an uncontrolled, at least not controlled by thought, telepathy between solar plexus and solar plexus. It has to do with the normal feelings as they relate to the astral body. And DK tells us such conditions in a group and even in the individual as fear, hate, disgust, love, desire, they're all included in this. Then we discussed truly mental telepathy, working from mind to mind, and the kind of divisions that presently occur. Even when there is a mental impression, it gets it gets translated into an emotional reaction. Then the heart-to-heart telepathy, so essential within a group, if that group is to function harmoniously and in true a telepathic modality. Then DK has given us some different esoteric definitions of standard phrases. Then we have added to it two other groups of telepathic possibility, telepathic work from soul to soul. And this is for humanity presently the highest possible type of work. And then if that is operating properly, we can have telepathic work between soul and mind, and eventually, and this was our last focus of concentration, telepathic work between soul and mind and brain. No longer do we have the vague kind of inarticulable thoughts, but they come through from the mind through the etheric nature and to the brain, where they can work in an understandable way on the outer plane. As DK says here, the vague idea and the vision hitherto unexpressed can now be clothed in form and sent out as embodied thought forms to the brain of the disciple or discipleship group. But this is really as far as we can take it. After this possibility, forms of telepathy involving the hierarchy as a whole begin to occur and involving specifically the master and the solar angel. As DK tells us, there is, however, a whole range of telepathic contacts which should be noted. May I add, even if we can't really deal with them, as anything but, let's say, a possible receiver, they should be noted, he says, because they constitute the goal for humanity. So that's where we ended before on program 9. This upcoming program will be short because we do have another program coming up on Zoom, and I really might be lucky to have an hour or so on this program, and we can see, can I follow it? Can I follow it up this evening with yet another? So we have yet to consider items 7, 8, 9, and 10, which are more advanced telepathic work. If humanity does not understand what an esoterically broken heart is, and cannot share in the fellowship of Christ's sufferings, then it certainly cannot engage in any really significant way or any full way in the following kinds of telepathic modalities. Okay. So we have next telepathic work between a master, who is the focal point of a group, may I add, in a way, the monadic point of the group, and the disciple in the world. Now, we may be a receiver, but we're certainly not going to be a sender of any kind when it comes to this type of work. DK goes on here. It is an occult truth that no man is really admitted into a master's group as an accepted disciple. May I add, of course, this can occur before the second initiation, and with the usually with the second initiation in sight, as it were. But still, no man is really admitted into a master's group as an accepted disciple until he has become spiritually impressionable and can function as a mind in collaboration with his own soul. So, may I suggest that we have to be able to think, and think in such a way that our mind, the customary mind, is held steady in the light of the soul. DK goes on and says that prior to that, he cannot be a conscious part of a functioning group on the inner planes gathered around a personalized force, the master. So, this tells us of certain requirements. Okay. Now, do we know when we are spiritually impressionable? And do we know, actually, when our mental work is functioning in collaboration with our soul? Because, you know, as stated, we may think that we are thinking certain thoughts and not realize the high spiritual source from which these thoughts are coming. And, you know, we maybe wake up in the morning with the sense, I have a new thought. Where did it come from? We might ask, and perhaps indeed from the Master, or from our own soul, the solar angel extended as the angel of the presence. So admission, may I add, into a master's group, which stands on the outer periphery of the ashram, is different from admission into the master's aura, chela within the aura, the fifth stage of discipleship. We have to get these distinctions clear. The Master had a group. Master DK had a group. It was a variegated group consisting of those who either had their focus on a certain seed group, or those who would have their focus before long on a certain seed group. But they still stood at the periphery of the ashram. They were not yet, well, and even if they were accepted disciples, they could not necessarily traverse beyond the periphery of the Master's ashram. That is an entirely more advanced stage. So even to be part of a Master's group on the periphery, we have to be spiritually impressionable. Now, I think it's somewhat difficult to know whether we really are. We have to be able to function as a mind, an impressible mind, in collaboration with what we might think of as our own soul, although the soul is always group consciousness, and the heart is the organ of the group. Group-centered soul. So, in any case, earlier than this stage of spiritual impressionability, We have to function as a clearly thinking mind. And we have to be sharp in our discernment so we can perhaps detect the source of the impression. So prior to this stage of spiritual impressionability, Dike says he cannot be a conscious part. Notice the word conscious, because that's important. He cannot be a conscious part of a functioning group on the inner planes gathered around a personalized force, the Master. Going on with DK, he cannot work in true rapport with his fellow disciples. But when he can work somewhat as a conscious soul, then the master can begin to impress him with group ideas via his own soul. But DK going on, for quite a while, he hovers then for quite a while upon the periphery of the group. Eventually, his spiritual sensitivity, as his spiritual sensitivity increases, he can be definitely impressed by the Master and taught the technique of contacts. Okay. Let me kind of okay. So, this ability to work somewhat as a conscious soul can lead to the impression of his mind, and eventually to the impression of his brain. And this also would apply to the group with which he is working, the impression of the group mind, and finally the impression of the group brain. Going on with DK. Eventually, as his spiritual sensitivity increases, he can be definitely impressed by the master and taught the technique of contact Master DK will be in the position to teach so many when he is actually one of the externalizing masters, one of the first externalizing masters, as we read in externalization of the hierarchy. Later, says the Tibetan, the group of disciples functioning as one synthetic thought form, and may I add, probably because of the cultivation of the heart and that type of telepathy. So eventually, or later, the group of disciples functioning as one synthetic thought form can reach him, and thus automatically he becomes one of them. To create, to create this synthetic thought form suggests we have to work now at the proper juncture with the great synthetic ray of love, wisdom. And whereas it is difficult to impress an entire group with the heart energy, it does become possible. And then their functioning as one synthetic thought form under the indigo ray can occur. So they will be functioning, this group, as one synthetic thought form, and can, as DK says here, can reach him, and thus automatically he becomes one of them. We can see that this is a progressive process. DK is always telling us how it is now, and then using such time-sensitive words as later. This will be the development later. But in any case, he becomes more central to the process of being impressed and impressing. Now, I'd like to add that the esoteric sense is considered the seventh sense. Five normal senses, then the common sense, which is the mind dealing clearly with the five foregoing senses, and then this more intuitive sense that we call the esoteric sense. And he says, to those who have the true esoteric sense, and I could add that I suppose this means who can function with intuitional telepathy. So, repeating, to those who have the true esoteric sense, the above paragraph will convey a good deal of information. Hitherto hidden. So, this point number 7 is about the master impressing the individual and the master impressing the group. And about our becoming spiritually impressionable. Now, have you asked yourself, have I asked myself, am I spiritually impressionable? It is a big question these days, because there is a rebellion against what can be conveyed to those who are truly spiritually impressionable. The personality finds ways to rebel against this spiritual impressionability. And so many millions, even billions, having heard perhaps of the soul, still cannot deal with it as a reality. Okay. Now we come to still a higher mode of telepathy. Telepathic work between a master and his group, not just the individual, which of course must precede telepathic work. Between a master and his group. And this, may I add, was what Master DK was trying to accomplish with the group which had gathered around him, or, you know, consisting of members of the Arcane School, or those who were specifically invited to join this multifaceted group around the master and fill out their applications accordingly. But it still work with the master, and it takes someone of that status to project the lines of energy required through the medium which is appropriate for that projection, namely some sort of etheric medium. So, going on here with what Master DK says, this, I just have to make sure that I started too softly one of the programs, and it had a difficult inherent difficulties, I think, that will require an adjustment on the part of the listener or the viewer. Now, this eighth point, as we begin to detail simplified version of telepathy, wisely offered first, this is a mode of work, says the master, whereby a master trains and works through his disciples. Well, of course, may I add, Master DK was hoping to be able to do that. But perhaps, I think, in fact, definitely, the organized groups did not reach the point of development and responsiveness to his telepathic sendings where that became possible. So what does DK say further? He says, he impresses them simultaneously with an idea or aspect of truth. Now, I just have to pause and ask, can we do that? Can we impress a group, even on a much lower turn of the spiral, with a conditioning idea or aspect of truth? Well, I would add, certainly not the way a master can. Remember, his mechanism was, in a way, in Tibet or northern India, and yet he was extremely effective in transmitting to the group that with which he hoped to impress them. Now, they didn't respond in the way he had hoped, or as rapidly as he had hoped. So after he sent forth the impressions, what did he do? And he says, by watching their reactions, he can gauge the united activity of the group and the simultaneity of their response. Now, he really has to be present in a way which is far beyond what we can do in order to watch their reactions. I mean, he watched the reactions of individual disciples, and when he was attempting to impress the entire group, he could also watch the general reactions of the entire group. And there are sections, of course, in Dina 1 and 2, which are not the individual instructions, which demonstrate how he watched their reactions. And even though we are not now those who are gathered around him for a continuation, let us say, of the seed group work, he still watches. Or do we think he does not? I think we can see the degree of accomplishment that Master DK has achieved, way beyond the range of what our highest accomplishments may be. Gauging the united activity of the group and the simultaneity of their response. And I suppose that simultaneity has a lot to do with the heart-to-heart telepathy. Now, the pressure on those students is not in the same way upon us at this moment, but it will be, I foretell. And the C group project is scheduled to last until the year. Well, it's a 275-year project. So until the year approximately 2200. Now that will give us plenty of time if conditions are appropriate to get back into the development of the C group modality. But perhaps we should act as if we were candidates for this C group work, so that if it is included in the future ongoing development, we will be more ready to take our parts within it and to realize something more of the way we as individuals and the group as a whole are watched and supervised. It may seem so far beyond what we can do that we might doubt whether it can be done. But I think the whole prospect is very believable, credible, we might say. Now there's a couple more. The next one, ever, I think, increasing in demand, we have the telepathic work between subjective and objective groups. There are highly trained subjective groups, and they can attempt to impress lower groups that are more objective. Those groups gathered presently around the focal point of the master and in the ashram, well, they are empowered to be able to impress more outer groups. Now, may I add, there are just so many sources from which impression can come. And that's why it is required of us that we be extremely attentive and discriminative and discerning when it comes to the possible origin of the impression. So DK clarifies here. He says, I do not refer here to the contact between an inner group of disciples functioning consciously on the subjective levels, but the outer form that group takes. I refer to an inner group and a different outer group or groups. So here is an important distinction. He's not talking about the same group. He's not saying, here is a group functioning on subjective levels, and now it's going to contact its own outer form. Rather, he is saying, I refer to an inner group and a different outer group or groups. These groups, he says, on both levels can be either good or bad according to the quality and caliber of the group personnel and their motives. Sometimes we have the idea that in the healing work of the future, a healing group, an inner subjectively oriented healing group, will work upon the task of healing a different group as a whole. So this is, you know, let's get the distinction. This is not exactly contact with the outer form of the inner subjective group. It's a group of one kind contacting a group of another kind. So it's a subtle difference, I think. And if we're not careful in our thought, we'll just say, ah, yes, this inner group contacts its outer form. Just the way, let us say, a soul contacts its own outer personality instrument. So I'm going to build up this. Main point. Now you kind of wonder about good groups and bad groups. Hitler and his evil gang, as they came to be referred to by the Tibetan, had made contact with certain magicians of the left-hand path in Tibet, and it wouldn't surprise me that they were being impressed. The evil gang was being impressed by the left-hand group, with which contact, deliberate contact, had been made on one of those expeditions to Tibet. Anyway, there are inner subjective groups, and they can be, in the sense that we search for, helpful to the elevation of the groups with which or in which we are members. Now DK tells us further, going on, this opens up a wide range of contacts and is one of the ways in which the hierarchy of masters work as individuals. Yeah. A wide range of contacts and hierarchy consisting of groups of masters or of groups of higher initiates can contact and elevate other groups. However, there are limitations when it comes to our ability to function very thoroughly in this manner. We have to consider ourselves fortunate if we receive what they send. So going on with DK, he says, it is, however, not possible for groups upon the outer plane to respond to this type of contact until the bulk of their members have the heart center awakened. This is an idea that we are, in a way, repeating from its mention in programs above. So DK goes on to say, in this connection, a most interesting point should be noted. Well, so the heart center is becoming a very important stabilizing center to produce all manner of authentic telepathy. So repeating what Master DK has said about the hierarchy and high initiates, contacting outer groups. It is, he says, however, not possible for groups upon the outer plane to respond to this type of contact until the bulk of their members have the heart center awakened. And I guess the meditations Master DK has given to awaken the heart center. Heart center is of real importance in promoting this type of telepathy and response, right response to this type of impression. Now he goes on to say, in this connection, a most interesting point should be noted. The awakening of the heart center indicates inclusiveness, group appreciation and contact, also group thought and group activity. This is what the awakening of the heart center can indicate. Now we might pause and say, well, to what extent is my heart center on whatever level, because there are several levels on which a heart center may be found. To what extent is the etheric heart, the astral heart, the mental heart, although that is pretty well taken by the development of the inner circle of petals, the middlemost circle of petals in the egoic lotus. And wouldn't you say that all of us have some work to do in that respect? But he elaborates further with these words: unless, however, the head center is also awakened and active, you know, assuming the thousand petaled lotus and the innermost heart or kind of petaled zodiac within the great head center. So unless the head center is also awakened and active, the soul is not able to control his heart activity, is not able to control. And this heart activity need not necessarily be what we call good or spiritual activity. Now, maybe that is a surprising thought. Every time we hear the word heart, we think okay, so about this energy being either good or not so good, DK says the following. It is quite impersonal, like the sun, of which the heart is, as you know, the symbol. It shineth alike upon the good and the bad. One of the old sayings here, it shineth equally upon the just and the unjust. It shines alike, says the Tibetan, upon the good and the bad. And so wouldn't it be the condition of the form and the orientation of the consciousness which determines whether the result will be what we consider good or bad? DK goes on, and group activity as a result of heart awakening and group activity as a result of heart awakening can include the bad groups as well as the good groups. Because, okay, we have the stimulation coming from the heart, and usually in the groups of which we are aware, the result is good, but the heart center is a force for coalescence. And if the form receiving that heart radiation is already tending to the left, that tendency will be further stimulated. Therefore, says the Tibetan, you can see the necessity of awakening the head center and bringing in the control of the soul aspect, because the head center, let us say, knows what is the good, and so does the soul. And hence, DK goes on, the emphasis laid upon character building and the need for meditation. Well, if people of bad character and groups of bad character receive the coalescing stimulation of the heart, the result is pretty straightforward. It will not be what we consider to be a good result. So this is a little paragraph about the impersonality of energy. We have a situation now in this pandemic with people of all kinds of character being infected. It's not that the virus asks political and character questions before latching on, as it were. Anyway, a strong mental ability with the mentality held steady in the light of the soul will help the results to be good. in the usual sense of the term. And always, I just have to ask, what are the energies impinging upon us? Do we feel them? Do they drive us forward on the path of what we recognize as goodness, or our evil tendencies, and we still do have them, our evil tendencies are somehow stimulated? I'm thinking now, you know, of the battle going on between the anti-democratic forces and the forces which seek to sustain democracy. The anti-democratic forces conceive of themselves as good, but they are selfish. And many of those who seek a more elevated condition of humanity recognize that selfishness. And hopefully these democratically tending forces can receive the impression, symbolically from the sun, and coalesce around good and progressive ideas. That is, ideas that, I'm not talking about a political movement, I'm talking about ideas that really contribute to human progress. It is a battle. It is being fought out in the United States, but more this kind of battle with selfish autocracy is taking place all over the world. We are really under the effect of a scourge, under a whip. Well, friends, I think that's all I can do right now. Well, there's one more thing. Telepathic work between, I guess, the entire hierarchy of masters as a group, or a part of the hierarchy, and groups of disciples. This is the 10th more detailed mode of telepathic work, again with humanity's role in it being very limited. What DK says here is, there is little I can tell you about this, and you would not and could not understand. And DK kind of emphasizes here the inaccessibility of this highest form of telepathic work, which he describes. He says, you would not and could not understand the experiment we are now making in connection with the new group of world servers is related to this form of telepathic work. We have the hierarchy impressing the hierarchy as a whole, or a large part of it, impressing the new group of world servers and making their development a very useful factor in the manifestation of the divine plan. At best, we are group recipients. There's just a little more here. Some of these forms of telepathic work have necessarily their distorted reflections on the physical plane. And naturally, some degree of discernment will be necessary. And he gives us something to ponder. He goes on to say, these you might like to ponder upon and trace the correspondences between them. What is mass psychology with its unreasoning quality and its blind activity, but a massed reaction to solar plexus impressions has passed from a group to group? It is instinctual, a variety of instinctual telepathy. What is public opinion? He goes on to question, so-called, but vague mental reactions by the mass of men beginning to grope their way on the mental plane to the activity and play of more active and powerful minds. This is so a couple of things are being redefined. He's coming along and saying things that we are somewhat familiar with on the outer plane are really have internal esoteric causes. And he's helping us to understand the connection between the esoteric cause and the outer manifestation. What is then, he says, public opinion, so-called, but vague mental reactions by the mass of men beginning to grope their way on the mental plane to the activity and play of more active and powerful minds. He goes on, the written and spoken words are not in themselves adequate to account for the display of modern opinion as we now have it. Okay. Something else is at work beyond the academic writings and explanations. And then the third question. He seems to be, you know, going back to the three fundamentals that he has explained earlier. What is the apparently accurate information so rapidly circulated among the savage races, but an expression of that instinctual telepathy which uses the vital body and the pranic fluids as its medium? Okay, so there is a connection. There is a connection, there are correspondences, and in the new schools, this kind of analogizing can be worked out. But all of us, may I say, are in this flux, and we are in a transitional period. And it is difficult because of the transitions to work with the complexity of the situation. We have to get a handle on where we stand right now. So, you know, sitting down to meditate and to see what is coming through in any form of telepathic manner and assessing the origin of such telepathy becomes an important task. Well, that's as far as we'll go with the 10 as the program because the program is coming up. So this was the end of program number 10. And we're in TEVVC, telepathy and the etheric vehicle. And let's see here. This has been the 23rd, and we've made our way from page 22 to 25, and program 11 is coming up at some point. And we'll start with page 25. And we'll see how far we go. So basically, what we've done is to look at the simplified version of telepathy. Then we have elaborated on 10 different types of telepathy, four of which are pretty much beyond our control, as at least in anything more than our condition as a recipient. And so we've looked at the kind of telepathy that can be practiced by the high initiates and masters and how that can affect us. Now, this, as I say, this will be ready for Makara quite soon, and also for our Moria Federation esoteric education channel. It requires study, friends. I'm just aware of that increasingly myself. We may read over something and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us, but eventually it will. And let's see. I'm not sure I can do this. I'll just leave it the way it is. And hopefully you have been seeing what I've put up here. Reading the Tibetan is not easy. And understanding the Tibetan through our own personal experience is even more difficult. But it can be done. And if we have the kind of attention that we wish to or should apply, it will be done. We have to know what is within our range to do and what is not within our range. And then we will not attempt the impossible, but we'll apply ourselves to that which is practically doable. And we will understand, I think, far more of the troubled dynamics which are today presently operative in quite a number of countries of the world, and in certain countries specifically, and really, and in general, in and throughout humanity, specifically. This is a time when we are deciding between a non-democratic autocracy, we as a human race, and democracy. And the choice is harrowing, really, because it is hierarchy that works in a democratic manner. We're not so ready for the real meaning of shambolic monarchy. Our monarchies are rather in name only. They are constitutional monarchies by and large, but of course there are people who feign adherence to democracy but are really trying to establish selfish monarchies through leaders and presidents and so forth, overreaching what they should. So for some years ahead, we'll be part of this battle. And hopefully, because our second major solar system places an emphasis upon the soul and upon hierarchy and upon democracy, we as a human race will make the right choices. Okay, I better run. So number 10 will be ready for you shortly, as soon as it is processed, and you can study it on Makara, or you can study it on our YouTube channel. But the important thing is that you find time every day to study these matters. Of course, with you in preparing these programs, I am studying as well. So, let all of us, Tui and myself, and BL and Joe and Michael Crow and Michael Stacy, and those who are working constantly at communicating the teaching to you, we will wish you a very useful assimilation and application of this material. In the few years that remain before something quite new will be offered to us, but as Master DK tells us, it will be under the same impression, which is basically his impression, no matter how he decides to designate the amanuensis function. Maybe the amanuensis, I would say, if it's going to be of the kind that Blavatsky or Bailey were, that amanuensis is already born and knows of the coming responsibility in regard to the bridging treatises of Master DK. And I just want to say as well, it's important to pause. And as we pause to ponder for a few moments what we have read, okay, so love and many blessings to everyone, and we will continue maybe later, even tonight, with perhaps with program 11. And please be aware, if you receive this relatively soon, that we have entered a new sign, which comes from making the correct decisions under the Libran energy. A sign of tests, trial and triumph, and a sign of struggle, strength, and Sagittarian attitudes. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, we go then. Forward. Bye for now.